What am I supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Playstyle. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot, and we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Hey, welcome to Bad Playstyle. My name is Matt.
I'm Keenan.
I'm Owen.
And we played Eastshade. I'm speaking in my NPR voice because we played Eastshade.
I'm going to channel Garrison Keillor. Oh, don't do that. He's a bad person.
I understand.
He's an abuser.
Like, but his voice.
No, don't fuck. No, fuck with Garrison. Don't fuck with Garrison Keillor.
I'm with you.
So this is a book club style podcast.
We're gonna go fuck yourself
about our personal politics and the video game that we played this week.
Sorry, we can't avoid it. Everything is political.
And us talking about politics is how we got where we are right now.
It's true.
Is the way that Al put it.
It's true. So the political, what was it? The personal is everyone is so fucking fond of saying.
Yeah.
Is political.
Yeah. And policy matters. Anyway, moving on. Let's stop talking about
let's
that.
Get to the bad playstyle policy.
Because I'd love to talk about Eastshade, but before we can do that, there are several pieces of bread we must hurdle before we can get to the meat, cheese, and mustard.
I have a wrestling thing later.
Of this game. That's good to know. So I would like to know, hey, Matt. What have you been playing lately?
Oh, Matt's he's got something to say. Yeah,
this is very weird. I know. It's out of sequence.
Wait. All right. I got $2 on Warframe.
Yeah.
Actually, zero Warframe.
Zero Warframe.
Lately, I've been very, very off it. They actually did something very interesting, which was on...
We tricked him into doing it.
On Sunday.
$2.
It's not about playing it, because I haven't played it. But they did a dev stream where they were like, here's all the new features we're going to roll out in the next mainline update, which is going to come out later this week. And I was like, I looked at that, I was like, oh, these are really cool. And then I went to go boot up the game, and I was like, wait, let me check that language real quick. Oh, coming out. Okay, you can go fuck yourself until these changes come out, because I ain't playing shit until it's better. Right? Like,
right, because the last thing they did was like, it's cool, but it's not ready yet.
Yeah. One cool thing they did was they looked at it and was like, hey, from the data we've looked at, it seems that only the top, like, 1% of players built their Railjack. That's bad.
Yeah. So you know what? I jumped in that game and played it for a week and got nowhere close.
Yeah. And like Brian bounced off the 15 Argon that you need to farm.
Like,
yeah.
I understand like trying to make it like, yo, you need some stuff. Yeah. But also for the casual player, that is not accessible.
Yeah. It was like, do you remember in WoW, in vanilla WoW, before any of the expansions came out, they came out with the very last raid. Before the first expansion.
And it had like the medieval staff or whatever in it, right? Or was that a different
thing?
That's
a different thing. Yeah. So Naxxramas, the giant flying necromantic fortress.
Yeah. It was totally dope.
Like 0.1% of players ever set foot in it.
Yeah.
So they
spent like 90% of their dev time.
They did not spend 90% of the dev time of World of Warcraft on Naxxramas.
That period they focused on it
so,
a lot. Like.
So they put that raid on ice for like 5 years and brought it back, not in the expansion, but the expansion after the expansion.
Mm-hmm. Like, look, it's rebalanced for this level, so you can play it.
Well, it also had to be rebalanced for a different raid size, which is kind of crazy, but...
Yo, that's a design change.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of math.
It's not.
It's not.
There is a complicated fight with four bosses at once, and you have to pull them into opposite corners of the dungeon.
Oh, and that'd be like way easier with more people.
Well, and also, Lich King...
It requires more people.
Lich King made 10-man raids common. Mm-hmm. So, from 40 people to 10.
Okay.
So, like...
It's a little harder. Yeah.
Because before, you could have four tanks.
Right.
You can't have four tanks in a 10-man raid.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, if you do that, you don't have enough damage.
First of all, as someone who has queued four dungeons before in World of Warcraft, there aren't 10 tanks on at any given time.
Yeah.
Is to what I'm given to understand.
Which is why when you play a tank,
which
is dope.
Which is why I play tanks.
Yeah.
Because I want to queue instantly.
It's like when I got out of high school.
Fuck healing, but anyway.
It's like when I got out of high school, my parents tried to convince me to become like an electrician. It's like, there's always work and you get paid. You know, it's like, be a tank. You get out of high school, your parents tell you, be a tank or be a healer.
Yo, can't confirm in my Final Fantasy 14 adventures. Yeah. There is always a
DPS is a flooded job market.
Yeah. It's like
there's
fucking,
three tank classes, there's 12 DPS classes, and there's four healer classes.
Ben Shapiro, why wouldn't they just sell their houses and become, move to another like raid group? Fuck up. Anyway, so Warframe's been fucking up.
Okay,
is right. The ultimate point of that
by not releasing
they said
content
coming
fast
soon,
enough.
And you were like, I ain't buying.
Well,
it.
It's not that they didn't release it fast enough; it's that they told me it existed, and it made the thing I was doing somewhat stupid. Like it's a bad value proposition for my time,
right?
When the grind is going to fundamentally change in like a week,
right?
You know, so
you know
just
what
like,
I could do?
Just
go get enjoyment elsewhere for that week. Yeah,
exactly. So it was just, and also, like, I was at my parents' house, so I wanted to try different stuff because I was house sitting.
Yeah,
right?
You're in a different situation.
And I remembered that when I bought my new computer, there was an offer that came with the graphics card.
Like you do. Oh,
or not the graphics card, with the processor that said, hey, you could get Borderlands 3 for free.
Yo, and that's Matt bait.
My main
Yo,
beef,
that's Matt
my
bait.
Main beef with Borderlands 3 is that I would have to pay, and then Randy Pitchford would get money.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I hate,
but they already
hate,
pay Randy Pitchford their money.
Yeah, and so that's it's a you know it, or, yeah okay sure I'll play this game, and it's actually really good, right? Like it's really good,
that's
right?
Good.
Like they mainly focused on it seems how the game feels to play.
What?
Yeah. Right.
What the fuck?
Fucking weird. Each class has multiple abilities rather than just the one.
Okay.
Right? And you slot them in and out whenever
flavor?
You feel like. There's even a class that can have two at once if you give up your grenade slot.
Yo.
And you can do some like crazy ass.
Yo.
Yeah, it's really cool. Right? And then
sometimes I don't want to fuck with the grenades.
The
in that
guns
game.
Actually feel good to shoot.
Good.
The bosses are fun to play against.
Are the bad guys still super bullet spongy?
No, actually.
Okay.
So you remember how there would be these peaks and valleys where you would run into the legendary and cruise through like six or seven, you know, XP levels, and then you would reach this point where the enemies were just like not fucking dying,
right?
And you were struggling
yeah.
to kill them. That very rarely happens with
so
the way
that
they've balanced
the
game. They've smoothed out the curves.
Good.
Right? There's because I remember there used to be this mechanic that certain enemies would do where when they would damage you, it would do automatically 90 or 100% of your shields.
Right.
Right. And it was like super bullshit because I would do like a shield build. They have like a million shields, right?
So why can't I mitigate this?
Yeah, why can't I mitigate this? And but I think what they did was they just used that type of mechanic, but just frickin' everywhere.
Right.
So there's just like certain weapons that feel like they do
right.
under the hood stuff, like percentage health damage and like that kind of
okay.
thing.
Okay.
So that's everything's like a lot smoother.
Right.
And the power
your
curve.
Your gun can be underpowered because you're getting this
the,
other thing.
The power curve is a lot smoother. So like I found myself using like level 15 weapons and doing fine at like level 30.
Wow. Hmm. Okay. That's
interesting.
I mean, like purples and reds, obviously,
right,
but like still, you know? And so it just like the game felt good.
That's good.
Right? And you remember how Borderlands was always kind of shitty and janky in like
yeah.
a lot of ways? In like the writing and like how it feels to move around the map? They fixed that.
So I have only meaningfully played Borderlands 1, which
yeah.
is going to be the roughest of
it's
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all I don't think I like any of the abilities
You're
in
telling
that
me
game.
They took that game and they sanded it down and
yeah.
that's actually appealing.
Yeah, they actually applied some good ass game design to it.
Cool.
It's fucking fun. Like it's fun to play. I played it for 2 weeks while I was at my parents' house.
It's not bad.
It was a good time.
Is the writing at least okay?
The writing is at least okay.
Good.
It still does that thing that I fucking hate where it sort of it feels okay wasting your times at certain points, but it does it less than it did in Borderlands 2.
Okay.
At least as far as the base game goes.
Okay.
It has a hub world. You go to places other than Pandora, which
wow.
is cool.
Well, that's, I remember they showed that off in the E3
yeah,
trailer.
And it was it, like it's cool to do. It's cool to get off Pandora and like have a different like theme.
Go to Swamp
right,
World
or not be on the fucking moon.
And it's cool because they pair that with paradigm shifts in the enemies that you're fighting. And so it becomes a lot more apparent that like, hey, you're fighting guys with lots of shields now. You should probably
right.
have
Act
more electric weapons.
Yeah.
Or probably use, you know, have some way of dealing with that. And so that was, it was nice. It felt good.
Right. No, it's good.
Playing the game was fun. And the boss fights all felt like Serious Sam boss fights.
Cool.
Like they felt like old school shooters.
Which is like that game's
that's
art
cool.
style and everything
yeah, that's
good.
Should
yeah, yeah.
feel that way.
Like and the bosses did big telegraphed attacks that if they hit you would fucking kill you.
Right, but also,
but
it
also,
tells you I'm going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they were imminently dodgeable if you were paying attention.
Right.
You know? And so it just, like, goddamn, it felt good.
That's good.
Guys,
that's
like,
very good.
If we could just get rid of Randy, if we could just get rid of the guy.
I just, for the record, have been saying that for like a decade.
Yeah, I mean, you shut up. We know. I've agreed with you the whole time.
He broke my heart. By promising.
What do you think it is that and like, aliens keeps him from Marines. Getting pushed out?
I think that he has blackmail on other people in
the
company.
He owns the investors.
So you don't think like a magical artifact?
That's not his child porn. That's someone else's child porn.
Exactly. You know?
Okay.
It's a combination of, just based on sort of receipts that have come out in the last few years, I think it's a combination of blackmail, contacts, and intimidation. I think he knows the right people. I think he has the right dirt on the right people. And I think that he intimidates all the right people as well.
And in the reverse, maybe Randy's the fall guy for worse shit.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they kept him around because he's problematic in a way everyone can disagree with while we're doing some other shit.
It might be like a scapegoat situation.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he draws a lot of heat.
Because that shit happens in those situations.
Randy
too.
Will do something loud and stupid and get on a stage at E3 and do magic.
While you're doing something quiet and lucrative.
Right.
You know, we have seen evidence of illegal profit sharing at that company.
It turns out
with
abusive
him.
People like other abusive people to be in the way of them.
Yeah.
So, big,
sweaty.
Power dynamics.
Pile of slugs in a Hawaiian shirt. I wanted to talk about Borderlands 3.
Yo, I'm glad you got that.
So we've been playing something that is not very different from what you've been
playing. I wanted to talk about that.
It also involves a 3.
I actually wanted to talk about that for a minute. So we're talking about The Division 2, right?
For $3.
For $3.
Not anymore. It's not priced that anymore.
But
whatever.
But we all bought it for $3.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We all did that. I booted it up the other day.
I saw you booting it up.
I booted it up, and I was walking around these bespoke, beautiful, immaculately processed environments going, who is looking at these? Who is the target audience
who
for these?
Is looking at these?
What is the man hours for these? Because you're in these environments and they're beautiful. And
every single
thing is bespoke. And
there's no
reused anything.
So there's one person, and that's me, because I'm the person in the Discord call who's like, Sean, look at these soda cups.
which I love. But then the game goes... All right, now play a boring cover shooter from 10 years ago. And you're like, wait, what?
Yo, what if you had a watch that activated you as the person who rehabilitates the status quo and you're the ultimate bootlicker?
Not to mention the extrajudicial Joe Biden's police.
Extrajudicial ultimate bootlicker simulator.
Yeah, when we get a chance, we need to induct you into our clan. We have created a clan. It's called UFOs for Gold.
I am all the way in on you. You don't know how long I've been in UFOs for Gold.
Hold on. We're an RP clan.
Okay.
We are RPing the most soup-brained, meat-headed 3%ers.
Yep. My character has cross makeup on his
3%ers,
face.
3%ers, huh? So you guys are bikers?
We're just like gun nut.
Or you just, you're militia types.
Yeah, right. We're militia types. There's a little space for 140 characters. You can write one tweet to describe your clan.
Okay.
I love that that's exactly how that went.
Well, no, because it's
half
a tweet now, right?
It's a true tweet.
a true tweet.
Hashtag true tweet.
What does it say? It says like, we pursue a biblical mandate for war. We're Christian dominionists. We're from Stevens County. Molon Labe.
Dude, I was at a meeting the other
day.
They
were building
for work.
This. Bree got upset and left.
Yeah. Oh, because she. Yep. All right. But I was at a meeting for work the other day, and one of the other assistants was wearing a sweater that said Molon Labe on the back of it.
And
she was like, "Oh, it's my girlfriend's." And I was like, "Are you aware that your girlfriend is wearing like paramilitary militia?
Oh yeah.
No step on snake shit."
So I'm in a new job, and this dude takes off his like zip up, his half zip.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're in tech. He's wearing a half zip. And he takes it off, and his shirt says, "Join or die" on the back. And I'm like, oh no. I need to not talk about things with him.
Well, so, I mean, Join or Die might or might not be, because it is the first political cartoon.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like, I didn't look up the organization that was on the front of the shirt.
Okay, you should do that.
But I had some feelings about it in the moment.
So anyway, like, The Division has not changed At all.
Yeah, because I was wondering,
it's
like,
not
what,
snowy.
What
that's what changed.
What
yeah.
makes it, what makes it
it's
two? Is it just
the
environment?
The environments are gorgeous. There's different abilities.
I think, like, the skill system looked like it was expanded,
definitely.
But it's roughly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good quality of life in the UI.
Also, the UI is busy AR graphics that are difficult
I hated
to
the
penetrate.
UI. I couldn't read anything.
I was playing last night with Brian and Sean, and, like, we could not for the life of us figure out how to get Brian in our squad for, like, 10 minutes. Mm.
I feel like that UI is still way more readable than the first one.
They added a lot more cosmetics, which sounds like a dumb way to say, like, yeah, the sequel's better. It's called cosmetics. But, like,
yo, Bree got a captain's hat and a skull mask right
it's
away.
It's a huge part of that game, honestly. Yeah. That was severely lacking in
so
the first
my,
one.
My character looks like a New California Ranger. Or like,
oh, good.
He looks like a Mojave courier from New Vegas good. Or something. Like, I look pretty dope. But it's that same fucking...
I got the Russian hat with the night vision goggles attached
Ushanka?
To it. No.
No, no, no. It's the tank driver.
Yeah, the
Pilotka.
Tank driver hat with
the Pilotka?
No, no, no. Like, it covers your ears. Big brown
hat. I have no idea what
added.
Hat.
It's what they harness their night vision goggles to.
Okay.
Like, if you look at the
goons. Oh, the hat that Monahan was wearing for Brigador at all the
sure.
cons.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Or the goons in Metal Gear Solid 2, all the Russian soldiers, they wear this hat with their
I didn't play Metal Gear Solid 2. Right, well, Steven and his brother did. I'm just, yeah.
All right. So, but like, the game is still stupid as hell.
Yeah.
But I remembered a very good trick from the first game. If you get sick of listening to Isaac tell you there's enemies coming and shit like that, you can change his language. Doesn't change any of the text in the game. The voiceover is a separate language option for everything else. 10 languages you get to pick from.
See, I like that
it
in Yubi
like
games.
Japanese
a lot of
rad.
People, a lot of people who play like Siege for a long time mm-hmm. do the same thing. They'll change it to like German or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've been running German right now. A lot of syllables in German, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, I know this isn't like a new observation or anything, but just like, goddamn, this guy will not shut the fuck up.
Those Almanians talk for a long time. Yeah.
Has a lot to do with that noun structure.
There's two Spanish options.
Dope.
Yeah.
Well,
is it continental like... Spanish and New World Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's Brazilian Portuguese, but so there's not Puerto-Guese Portuguese.
It's Lisp Spanish and non-Lisp Spanish.
I don't know. Dope. I don't fucking speak Spanish. And there's
Barcelona.
I think there's like Japanese and Korean and Chinese and
I remember enjoying the Korean option last time.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's that same fucking game. Like, it is that game too. Like,
it's
a
really
fucking
slow drip, lazy narrative. It's really like.
Well, hey, no. Hold on. Change your language option. It's zero narrative.
Yeah, no. Like, I've been paying attention to it here and there, and I'm like, you got like two story beats that you're gonna make me drill down for? Like,
yeah.
No.
The Dark Zone still fucking whips ass.
Oh, cool.
It's like actually like it's actually the good selling point of that game. It's like,
yeah.
It is the one like.
But the Dark Zone was always cool.
Yeah,
it was a good idea.
It actually completely sets it apart from other shooters, whereas the Division is like gunman cover shooter. Yeah, whatever.
Yo,
we had those dudes.
Yeah.
And they tried to get the drop on us. They killed me once. I respawn. I come up behind them because the spawn point was behind them.
Yeah,
we fucking flank the shit out of
them. They tried to jack us during an extraction.
So we fucking kill them. They go away. We're like, hey, we got all this good gear now. Let's go put our loot away. We run up to the loot spot. Guess who's at the fucking loot spot? It's those dudes.
It's
who tried
fucking
to
dudes
us
again. Yeah, they're waiting for
so
us again.
They're strapping their shit on the helicopter. And we're like, all right, fucking go. And we go fucking gun them down and take their shit, but we don't have time to strap it to the helicopter.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, grab ammo, fucking get ready. We're gonna call the helicopter again. They're gonna come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they roll in and they don't go hot until we can see all of them anyway. So I pop my drone, Owen pops his drone, they're ready to shoot them as soon as they trigger, like, we're fucking shitheads and ready to shoot us. And we fucking ice these dudes out, grab all their gear, and strap it to the helicopter and
three
leave.
Times in a row.
Yeah, it was fucking sick.
We fucking clowned these dudes.
It was great. The game does not handle loot very well in the Dark Zone as far as sharing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cause,
it was
cause,
really frustrating.
Because one of the things that happened was, like, we killed them, had to grab all their stuff really quickly and put it on.
Yeah.
And so I didn't end up getting any because I drew their attention so that... Because
you were doing the work.
Yeah, I was doing the team, the teamwork.
Whereas, like, it was one of those things, like, I'm right on top of this guy's body. Someone else could come grab this. Grab, shoot.
Yeah,
can you
like,
share it when you leave the Dark Zone?
No.
Well, no, so like you remember you get to those Dark Zone stations at the boundary and it's there waiting for you in a crate. Some of the items are tradable and some aren't.
And there was no good reason for it.
And it's not clear at all why some of them are tradable and some aren't.
It was
like,
really
it's very
frustrating.
Stupid.
Like, we're sitting there trying to share
it.
It should
be the thing where like if you earned it in the same squad, it should be tradable
so
for like a half hour.
All the other loot functions that way.
Yeah.
All the other loot functions are this. So like I don't know if we had like a weird glitch.
Sean looked into it. There's like non-surfaced arbitrary rules that prevent certain types of... Yeah, that was exactly my fucking reaction. I'm sorry. Audience at home, I don't know if you heard Matt's eyes roll to the back of his head.
It's a loot game.
Yeah. Right. Like you, and if you're going to let me share all the other loot too,
yeah,
just let me share it.
Yeah, so like they can only share the crappiest stuff with me.
Yeah, of course.
Like we grabbed literally
the things you said was a bunch of buzzwords that meant, oh, cool, I'm getting grays that I'm going to vendor. Awesome.
We grabbed like 5 gold items off these dudes.
Yeah.
And none of them could be shared.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Sean, can you give me like the one purple?
Yeah.
And I was just like, God damn it. This is dumb.
Yeah.
But the Dark Zone, still very fun.
Still cool.
Actually, the one power I do want to shout out that's in the game that I think is interesting and different from the first one is there's 3 riot shields.
There's three or four versions of everything.
Yeah, I noticed that. I got a chance to look at the different skills and like go through them. The riot shield seemed like the biggest new thing to me.
It's pretty good in PvE. It is fucking godlike in PvP.
Because one of the variations is it's like shoulders to knees, and then you can use your primary with it.
Yeah.
It
has a notch cut into it like the fucking Hammerfall gun core from War Machine.
So you can just roll up on a dude with a fucking Benelli and just be like...
Yeah. Yeah. So I was running it with like a Tech 9 or like a USAS-12.
Run around and ruin their cover.
Well, it's gross because they focus that guy and then we flank them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that was literally the play I made.
And then I pop a machine gun drone and drop a sniper turret and we fucking wreck their shit. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shield is cool.
Yeah.
The PvP in that game, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty all right.
The PvE in that game, still goofy.
Yeah, the PvE in the game is exactly how you remember it.
And then the expansion...
I stopped playing because the enemies became too bullet spongy.
They've tuned that better, but it still happens.
Well, it's just like,
I'd agree with that.
I don't feel it as often.
I didn't like that the high priority shotgun enemies that would rush you down took like a mag and a half. Which was more than the time it took them to get to me.
The melee rushdown guys are also kind of like that, so you kind of have to focus them as a group, which sucks. But...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But fucking Zuck, my robot, will back me up, and then it's only one mag to get him.
Yeah. Okay. And like the powers refresh quick enough that you don't ever feel like, oh fuck, they're on cooldown. Like you either handle shit or you're like, okay, I need to play a little more careful.
Yeah, there was some game that had like powers like that with the cooldowns were just too fucking long for me to care.
Yeah. And so like I feel like they looked at like what are the hangups that people have with this game, and they were like, okay, we can at least iron that out if we're making
so it's more, a, it's more of a Division revision than it is
Then the DLC they just put out for Division 2 does that even more.
They're going to New York
because they're going to New York to wrap up the narrative bits in New York they couldn't finish in the first game.
Okay.
I think that's kind of fun for a DLC to revisit like territories from the first game.
So I watched like one of the trailers where they like kind of fly through what they have of New York. I'm like, yo, some of those environments look fucking cool. Because it's all completely bespoke.
But
like,
that's their whole thing. Yeah.
So right. But like they kind of went nuts with it because there's a... We were running
they did down, last time.
No, but like more so. There's like weird dumb set pieces all over the place. Like we were running down the street and we come to this intersection and there's just a crashed crane wrapped around this intersection. Like it fell over and fell over again and it fell over again. So it's like this weird piece you have to work around while you fight dudes in a stronghold nearby.
All right.
And so, like, there's a lot of stuff in what I saw in that trailer that's like that, where it's like, yo, this train fucking crashed through the floor, and there's all sorts of weird shit happening, like, big set pieces, right? In a way that it's not just like, yo, it's another street.
Cool. So, listener, what we're saying here is you should absolutely play The Division 2 if you can get it for $3. And if you can't get it for $3, I strongly recommend against purchasing this game.
Play almost anything else.
Like, we've been speaking very effusively about the things we like.
But, it was $3.
Yeah, that game was $3. I'm not going to buy the DLC. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But I'm going to have a good time with it. And probably for maybe a little while after I hit level cap, and then I'll probably get sick of it.
It also exists in the big dumb UB ecosystem where everything is all the same. I don't know how that works. I don't understand that.
Oh, yeah. It's got a really aggressive level scaling system. So, like, if my level 30 friend wants to play with my level 2 friend, we can play in the same game. It doesn't work super good when the players get more and more extremely different in level.
Yeah.
Where, like, your damage scales if you're super low level compared to the host. But, like, your survivability doesn't quite, and neither do your powers.
Well, and that's because that's all derived from your armor.
Yeah.
It's derived from what you're wearing.
Like, I was playing with Sean last night, and I hadn't been on the Division in 2 days, and he already got to max level. And so, like... It scales to the highest level person in the party. So, like, I would send out my drone. He would just get shot out of the sky.
Right, because you and your drone have 800 armor, and he has 12,000 armor. Yeah. Right? Like...
Let's stop talking about the Division, though.
Yeah.
That's what Keenan and I played.
It's cool with $3.
Let's talk about East Shade.
Yeah.
Why did you pick East Shade?
Because I like the Division 2, and it's a game very much like it.
No, but for real, though.
East Shade's a game...
You said that with a straight face. Yeah. It's commendable.
East Shade's a game I've had my eye on for a long time.
Where did you first see it?
Just on Steam. Steam just, like, throwing up...
It's like, hey, you would like this.
It's like, the artwork for it says East Shade, and there's a picture of two owls holding each other closely like they are a couple. And I was like, that's a weird thing to be on your front-facing artwork.
Hey, Steam, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What was that?
Okay. Also, the owls in this game look kind of weird.
They do.
And so I was like, that looks weird.
Yeah.
So whoever designed the faces for the owls, if you ever at times at night worry that you made the owls look weird, you did. But you sold a copy of the game to me.
Yeah. Nailed it.
On that account.
It worked. I mean, the same thing happened to me with me and Brink.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at those mans and I was those mans look weird. I'm buying this game.
Those mans look weird.
Yeah. So,
to this day, those mans look weird.
So,
look really cool, but yeah.
So, this is a game I discovered in the good old fashioned Steam way of the Steam library surfacing something I actually wanted, which never happens.
Yeah.
Shout out to the 1% of the time Steam gets it right.
Yeah. That's why I picked this game. And like, when I read the little blurb on the Steam store page, I was like, this is neat.
Yeah,
you know, go around the countryside, paint pictures, just like have a fulfilling life. You know,
pretty
like
chill.
This is like your vacation in Europe after college or something. Like pretty basically, chill.
Your frustrating vacation in Europe.
Yo, yep. I gotta say, after being unemployed for a while and going to a job where I kind of have some imposter syndrome,
yeah,
this is a good cool down game after
work. Sure,
where I could just be like, yo, that guy wants to be my friend. He wants to build a raft out of these plants.
Oh, man. That's that guy's cool. The coolest NPC in the game.
I love him.
He's one of my favorites.
Is it Bogan? Ogden?
I can't keep track of any of the names
Bolan?
In this game.
I could only... There's only one or two names I can remember.
Yeah.
I remember one Glowstone Man or Osha.
Yeah.
Because fucking labor violations? No, I like one Glowstone Man.
You mean he's huge the one... bottleneck to the middle of the story, man?
He's the one who buys everything for one Glowstone?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, hey, do
except
you want...
Except sealant. That's 500 Glowstones.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, do you want twigs? Like so many twigs?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man.
Yeah. So for me, one Glowstone Man was a person that I found rather late in my playthrough. Like, I was very... I didn't know where to go. I know that I needed sealant. I knew that it was probably in the city.
Yeah.
And you know, I just go down this random alley, and there's this guy there that... And I, sell him a bunch of things because I need some money to buy a tea kettle. And he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, do you sell anything else? He's like, sealant. And I'm like, holy shit, that's the thing I need to go to any of the other parts of the game.
Right. Oh yeah, because the raft gates you off from
the large portion.
Yeah,
of
from
the
like
game.
Probably half the map.
And it's very frustrating because at that point, my main quest was to find all the hot springs.
I
know that they're over there.
I think the quest
I fucking know.
The quest design in this game I think is legitimately rough.
Yeah.
The thing I found myself thinking when I looked at how it all was arranged after the fact is this is a quest chain. In any other game, this would be a quest chain
right. That
would be structured formally that way. But all the stages of this quest chain are visible to me at once.
Yeah.
And there's not a clear way to figure out which one is the
first
step.
And it doesn't do a good job of highlighting, hey, bro, try this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it felt like a clear lesson in how to do what the Outer Wilds was shooting for poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, this game is good at the mood that it's going for
sure,
and the gameplay loop that it is going for. But the quest design spoiled the fucking mood for me because I was ready to be done.
There was a point where
finished my
there
vacation.
Was a point where I was done fucking chilling,
yeah,
and I wanted to get the shit done, and I couldn't,
because I couldn't find the fucking sealant.
Right.
And then to add insult to injury, the exact minute I found the sealant, put together the raft, and crossed my first body of water, it gave me a new boat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that happened to me too,
and that was downright insulting.
Fucking really?
Yeah.
You got in your raft and went and solved the tamest murder mystery type story ever.
I thought it was
the investigator shows up and goes, nah, it's that person.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
Yeah, who did you guys think it was?
I didn't pin anyone. And then she's like, you're wrong, it's this person. And I'm like, what?
Okay. I don't remember. All I remember is I got it wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I literally said, like, it's none of these people. And she was like,
I pinned Business Bear.
Okay.
I was like, Business Bear's a dick. It was him. No, it was like, legit. No, it's actually the lady next to him who's freaking out. And I was like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I leave? Oh, can you turn the storm off, please? Thank you.
Yeah. I thought it was a nice, like, mood, like, palette different thing. But it was like, somewhat poorly implemented.
It just kind of doesn't have stakes for you.
Yeah.
Is the thing. You walk into it and they're like, you're stuck here now. And you're like, okay. And, like, they don't give you reasons to care.
I don't mind that. It the part that I didn't like about it, because I agree with Matt, it is, like, a nice, like, palette change, but I didn't like the contrivance of the storm.
Oh, yeah.
Like once I realized, like, the storm won't end until the mystery's solved.
Right, right. I'm stuck here. Bottle episode.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Like, yeah, that was the same way I felt when I was looking backwards at the chain of quests,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, because the game expects you to, like, do an objective and then fuck around until you stumble onto the next thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
But it also, like, tells you too much, right? Like,
but then also sometimes not enough, because sometimes I'm like, I just want to go to the next step.
Right.
Well, the game seems to fundamentally assume that you will never at any point pick a single quest and
want to finish it.
And point yourself at that quest until it's over. That
It expects you to wander into all of
them. Yeah. It's counting on you to kind of keep that, like, chill, meandery attitude through the woods and at no point ever try and, like, work down
you
a list.
You can't lock on and do any
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because if you do that, you'll just hit walls and have no clues on where to proceed.
Which, like, there's nothing wrong with designing a game with that mosey around attitude, but you need to allow that other play style, right? Like,
or just, like,
design your quest so that that's not
right.
Just put more stuff in to direct the player, like, right. Even in more subtle ways. Like, I'm sure this is what they're aiming for,
right?
But like the game needs more hidden bumpers to sort of direct you towards where you need to be going.
Because you ask people about certain subjects, and they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be.
Why do I have this option if you don't know? Like,
it would be nice if it didn't feel like it was trying to confound me.
Right.
Because I remember when I talked to Zara, and she's like, "Oh, would you? Can I go up to the thing and complete one of the main objectives of the game?" And she's like, "No, I need to give you a pass to go up there, and I'm not going to do that unless you do a thing for me." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever. Video game logic. I'll do your fucking fetch quest. What is it?" And she's like, "Oh, just go buy this thing for me. I'll pay you double what it's worth." And it's the Elixir of Life. I go down. I buy the Elixir of Life. I come back, and she's like, "Okay, now go to every single corner of the map."
Yep.
And that felt like a real bait and switch.
Right.
Because, like,
I already did this for you. Now you're telling me to do
something. I
already
did the thing. You said I would do it when I did the thing. And now the thing's goalposts have been moved to literally the end of the game.
Right.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got frustrated with those things.
Yeah.
But I also was just stressed out enough that I was like, fine.
So maybe we should talk more about, like, what the premise for this game is and, like, its mechanics are. Since we haven't talked about that. So this is a game that starts in the hold of the ship from the beginning of Morrowind.
There are a lot of similarities between this game and Morrowind.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, there are a lot of similarities between this game and a modded copy of Morrowind.
Yeah. 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 This is like Morrowind with
that a texture update.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. With a texture update,
ray tracing,
a pacifism mod, and a painting mini mod layered on it.
And
so,
a,
like,
no conflict mod.
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean by pacifism. Yeah, yeah.
None.
So like, you're in a shipwreck. You're going to a distant land. Your mother said, "Hey, you should go to Eastshade sometime. It's pretty cool." You've arrived in Eastshade. You're a painter.
Here are a punch list of paintings you need to make.
Yeah, and your mother says, "Bring me 4 paintings of these exact things."
Yeah.
And so the game has a mechanic where you pick the framing and the aspect ratio of, like, a painting you want to make.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that part's really cool.
It's a good feeling.
I like that stuff a lot. And then the game takes a screenshot and then I'm speaking in a mechanical sense. It takes a screenshot and then applies basically a Photoshop filter over it to make your screenshot look more like a painting.
And the way it fills in the painting on the canvas in front of you is not the way anyone would paint it.
That's how I've painted every single painting I've ever made, Kenan.
On the outside in.
Yeah. Well, and, like, radially.
Yeah, radially. Yeah.
And it, like, comes into focus like a camera?
Uh-huh.
One thing that happened to me that I think would be, like, a QA nightmare was that I kept accidentally taking or making paintings that I wanted to keep personally, that the game would then be like, oh, this fulfills a quest objective. Give it to me. And I was like, but that's mine. That's I made it for me.
Well, I think
I make this for you. This was my art.
I think when you export your paintings, it does every painting you've made.
Sure, but like it wasn't, I have no intention of going into the game files and exporting my painting. It was just part of the immersive experience for me that there were certain paintings I wanted to make.
Right. Sometimes an artist creates shit for themselves, guys. Yeah. So the game has this like huge open world environment that is full of like picturesque vistas and like just full of like good landscape still
it's
art.
It's just painting porn everywhere.
It's like cool stone arches and waterfalls.
And fucking massive treehouse.
Get this great tower by the sea.
Huge treehouse. A grove of
zip lines that don't go up.
A grove of trees with all pink leaves.
Yeah,
you know, the blushwood. You know, like just like cool shit.
This guy on this cool raft he made.
Yeah, sometimes and you spend a currency called inspiration. Takes one inspiration to make a painting. Sometimes you get inspiration from painting. Sometimes you get inspiration from, well, not from painting, from like drinking tea or like sitting in a hot spring.
Getting to a new place, listen to a song.
Yeah, listen to a
drinking
song.
Drinking some tea.
Sitting by a fire.
Break into someone's house, find a poem.
Doing drugs in a cave with several other people doing drugs in a cave.
Yeah.
It's just raw living, man.
Yeah.
So you know it's dope? There's an economy loop you can do.
Oh, no.
Once you buy the coat. Because the coat allows you to not only be out at night and not be cold, but it also eliminates the need for sleep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but you do have to wait. You get the camping tent.
No. Here's the real thing. So there's a pea patch out on the side of Nava, the main settlement.
Yeah.
And if you go to the pea patch man and you say, hey, pea patch man, can I work some peas? Zero actual time will pass.
Okay.
But a small amount of like in-game time will pass.
I heard it costs you your inspiration.
It does. Here's the thing, though. There are two sources of infinite inspiration.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this. I never looked into what it was.
Well, so I put those in the Discord because I foresaw a situation where Keenan accidentally ran out of inspiration, got frustrated, and then like failed to finish the game a day before we wanted to record.
I appreciate your preemptive attempt at that, but I did some good living, man.
No. So Keenan actually managed to avoid that pitfall, but I wanted to make sure that I had the tools ready and available for him.
I wasn't like super event. Cranking out paintings, so I didn't really run into that.
Sure, but I can imagine a speedrun style, because you do usually play the games like a day before we're going
to
record.
Yeah, no, I recognized that my life was going to get way busier, and I was like, I need to put some time into this now.
Because
I'm about to go start a job.
What is the reverse of a chicken hat?
I don't know.
A sombrero.
Because we owe Keenan a sombrero.
I think it's the two of us have to wear a chicken hat.
It needs to be one of those dope gimmick sombreros full of tacos.
But anyway, there's a dude out on one of the beaches with a sitar.
Oh, and he'll play you music.
If you listen to his song, it will always give you inspiration.
Okay.
And if you are far enough into the game, there is a drug cave you can go to that will always give you inspiration.
Okay.
And so both of those.
Build those in.
So what I do every night is I go work the pea patch until I can buy the new piece of gear that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the drug cave and smoke drugs all night.
Yeah.
Which makes you wait.
Right.
And then I have enough inspiration to do like the next painting or so.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what happened, because I remember there was a point in the game where I just broke my money.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it on purpose. I just realized I had enough money to buy everything.
Sure.
And
which is ideal, honestly,
dude,
the way this
bike
game
feels
money.
So good.
The bike is good. Yeah. I think all the vehicles in the game feel like the vehicle you're on. That like the raft, when you get on it and you hold forward, your character it doesn't just move forward.
Yeah.
It goes in pulses.
It lurches.
And it
does that in reverse, slowing down too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It slows down the way it should.
Yeah, and the reed boat reminds me of being in a canoe. It's not exactly like using a canoe,
close.
But it reminds me of the like fuckiness of like
it doesn't quite want to turn unless you're going forward.
Yeah. Like when you're pulling away from shore, like and then the bicycle feels really good. The way the camera has the right amount of lean when you turn.
Yeah.
It is a super bicycle that can ride over
stairs and shit.
I remember when I got up to Zara the first time, and I was like, wow, you're in a wheelchair
and you live at the top of a tower that's only accessible by stairs. That's kind of fucked up. That seems really isolating.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got the bicycle, and I'm, like, going up boulders and staircases. Like, you know what? She probably got the crazy wheel technology on her wheelchair.
She doesn't even notice.
Yeah.
Also, she's a goddamn thief.
Is she?
Yeah. Well, the lady in the wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she asked you to go find that box full of diamonds.
Oh, I never did that.
It doesn't belong to her. It belongs to a family of bears.
And it doesn't have diamonds in it.
I didn't finish it. So.
I finished it. It doesn't have diamonds in it. She gets really mad at you. She's like, where are the fucking diamonds? And you're like, bitch, it's their recipe box. And she's like, and then you leave.
Did you guys do the grape pastries quest?
Yes.
That's a good quest line.
Yeah. Also, those Italian union-ass bears rule.
Yeah, I like that. So the voice work in this game is... I find
it's slightly below studio quality.
It's very hip.
But it is above mod quality.
But often, like, what... The take they go with the voice is just often so unexpected to be coming out of the fucking owl or bear or deer or weird ape person
I'm
talking to.
When that bear barked at me and, hey, I don't tell you how to yell at you blind kids, I was like, oh, what's up?
Yeah.
You're my favorite bear now.
Or like, did you help the love-struck bear lady at Nava?
Yeah.
But like, her voice is also very much like... That is not what the anthro bear in my head sounds like.
Yeah. This is a tiny, like a 5'2" woman.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good quest too.
Yeah.
Both of the quests in the market in Nava, the Toxic Tubers and the Lesbian Lovers quest were both
Toxic Tubers is good.
Yeah. Toxic Tubers.
That was sort of classic video game following.
I really like the Toxic Tuber quest because like most of the people were like, whoa, I didn't know. And like one dude's like, I'm really sick. But there's one dude who's like, there's a lady and she's just like, yeah, I know it's a Toxic Tuber. That's why I bought it from him. Like, it
tasted weird.
She's actually the other Lesbian Lover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
My favorite guy on the Toxic Tubers one is the guy who plays it off like he didn't already eat it.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I threw it away. I gotta go.
I'm shitting my brains out for an unrelated reason. No, like the quests in this game, they're not like super deep and complex, but they are charming. Mm-hmm. Like they
bring it home in the right ways and the right times.
Yeah.
And you get like a cool note about pretty much each one of them.
Yeah. I like that as a way of interpreting the RPG slides at the end of the game that tell you about your decisions. Yeah. Like the Fallout 1 and 2, the Fallout New Vegas ending, you know.
Or like the fucking Telltale analytics.
Yeah. Like it's like a nice, it's a nice turn on that where it's not telling it's you.
Dope Oxenfree analytics.
It's not telling you like a disembodied epilogue that you have no way of knowing, but it's like a nice, just like little morsel of follow up with each beat.
Which
like,
can put a tail on this.
We recognize you did a thing, and it was nice.
We put a tail
on this. And I remember like when I finished the game, I didn't have that many notes, and looking around the room, I can tell like if you completionist play this game, I can see where everything goes.
The room will look cool.
Yeah, like I have an empty desk. Obviously, notes go on the desk. I have a table over here.
You guys do a lot with the park ranger?
I found the water fox or whatever.
Yeah. I did the first one with the park ranger.
Okay, yeah. He was like my first favorite character out of all the people like I'd sort of run into and got to do stuff with.
He like all of his, you were like, you really do that? And he was like, yes, who the fuck else is going to?
Someone has to fucking do it. And you're like, no, he right.
I also like it because like in video games often have this thing where fundamentally in a video game, everything in the video game exists for the player's experience.
Right.
That like it is a very narcissistic premise of playing a video game.
It's all for you.
But I do like that the park ranger, when you talk to him, does not feel like someone who exists for your benefit or your sake. That he is a dude and he is doing a job and you are talking to him while he was trying to do his job.
Yeah. He's like, go away.
And he is having a hard time. And it's not like,
and he's like, if you're gonna talk to me, you need to help me.
And when I say he's having a hard time, I don't mean it like in the NPC who says, like, my son, he's been taken by bandits. If only someone would help me. Like, it's not even like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
dude, I'm trying to do shit.
Yeah.
He's get like, out of here.
Like, it extremely has this energy of like, I'm changing a tire. Can you talk to anyone else?
Yeah. We have at work, there's a kid who comes in like 3 or 4 minutes before all the other kids. Because, you know,
he's on a schedule.
Well, no, he's coming from the learning resource center at the school.
All right.
He's, you know. He's special.
Sure. Right?
But he goes over to the iPads and he grabs the iPad, and there are always 3 or 4 adults in the room. Any of them can unlock the iPad for him.
Mm-hmm.
He only goes to me.
All right.
Regardless of whether or not anyone else in the room is not busy.
Or closer.
Or closer. Sure. And usually I'm busy.
Right.
usually I'm doing something else because I'm like manic. I have to be like doing something, right? And it's like,
I'm at work, I'm working.
It's like, bro, could you, like, he's right. He's literally, could you, he knows it.
But he's your friend.
Yeah, yeah, but like, yeah, I like the kid, but it's just like,
you're already doing something and then he brings you another thing.
And but I, you know, I tell him, I'm like, come on, man, like, all right. And I just like do it real quick, but I'm like, dude, he's like right there.
You right. Like, if this were more than this effort, it would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. We try to model to the kids that, like, if you're feeling a thing, you should say it.
Right.
Right. It's like when we're playing video games with the kids, it is perfectly acceptable for an adult to tell a kid, hey, the thing you're doing is pissing me off.
Right.
Right. It's like, so.
That's really frustrating. Please don't.
Yeah. Like, you don't, you know, you don't yell at the kid.
Right. But like, you express
yourself. But it's okay to be a little heated, and it's okay to just be like.
Feelings happen.
Feelings. It's okay.
Express them.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So we're the kids have been playing Trine, and there's a couple of kids who can't handle not doing things. Trine 2, because they beat Trine 1.
Okay.
They're on to Trine 2. I own 3.
Yo.
And so...
Yo, they're going to be really excited when 4 hits.
Yeah. When 4 comes out, they're going to be
Don't even tell them.
Buy Trine 4.
Fucking more Trine!
Yeah. But, so...
Well, yeah, shout outs to Trine, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's actually really good.
Keep fucking plugging, guys.
In the beginning of the day, we've been playing, oh man, I should mention this, a shitload of Killer Queen.
Hell yeah. Because I've seen that a couple times
the
on Steam.
The kids have been playing Towerfall for the past 3 months, and Killer Queen is Towerfall.
With more.
But also.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So you probably got some savage Killer Queen players.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Like, how many economic victories have we had since I brought this to them 2 weeks ago? One.
Yo.
And how many snail victories did we have in the first week? Like 6 or 7. How many snail victories have we had this week? 0.
Yo, lock that shit down.
Just people killing people.
The dominant strategy.
Put the snail in the middle and bug out.
Yeah, the dominant strategy is to kit all your workers and stand on the snail and let them come to you. And just like mass fight.
What?
That's like the most fucking middle school interpretation of Killer
Queen. That's some Ender's Game shit. That's like, speaking of which, I watched that movie while I was at my mom's house. That movie's wild.
But
it's
anyway.
Like exact.
But anyway, I'll take some video for you guys of like what these fucking kids get up to. It's great. I need to rewrite my Steam review because I left a very negative Steam review because it wasn't working. But anyway, I need to rewrite it.
Yeah, you got to know on Twitter too.
Yeah,
you were like, "Yo, guys, what's the deal?"
Because I knew that the kids were gonna go wild for this game, right? Yeah. And that there's no other avenue for them.
This needs to work.
Yeah,
guys, this needs to work. I understood where you were coming from, but like, yeah.
But anyway,
all right, back to East Shade.
Yeah,
East
Shade. A little divergent there. Sorry,
it's all good.
Yeah,
we were just so calm about East Shade, had some extra energy.
So, I didn't get frustrated at all with what I consider to be like bad quest design, because one thing I found on the Steam forums, and this is something I've never seen for a video game before.
Oh, yeah, you're telling
us. Is there is a full walkthrough of the game written by the developers.
Oh, whoa.
On the Steam forum. It's for the beta testing. And when you click on it, it just takes you to a Google Doc. And it's just it's the whole game. It's everything. It's not a super detailed one. Mm-hmm. So it almost feels like you're using a very generous hint system where like it'll tell you like, oh, the thing you need, it is being held by this person and it lists their name in this town. And like and it doesn't say it's like the one on the right. It doesn't say it's the so and so vendor. And so
That's like ideal because it gives you a direction, but it doesn't give you like robot instructions.
So I played half the game just playing it like real stream of consciousness, just doing whatever, you know, like kind of what the game seems to be guiding you to do. And then I kind of just started hitting a wall of quests that I couldn't progress on.
Yep.
And so then I just played the second half of the game with that Google Doc open. And just like played as naturally as I could, and then like when I hit a wall, I was like, "Fuck it, Google Doc."
I ended up scanning through some people's playthroughs on YouTube for like similar reasons.
There was a point where I was stuck, and then I was like, I went and I looked up a specific area, the area with the mirrors. And it gave me like 2 or 3 hints as to like things you were supposed to do as far as timings, and that opened up everything.
Okay.
Until I hit the wall with sealant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I need sealant. And then the guy was like, he's like, oh, I don't know what I want for sealant. And I was like, okay. And then I was able to give him the code and get the, and then finally that opened it all up. But it was like, it was not.
Yeah. Like,
it was obtuse.
I think, like, I understand that this game's quest design is what it is, but there's a lot of frustrating moments of, like you said, like the goalpost moving, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, no, we still need this other thing. And it's like, okay, fine. Let me do that.
Yeah.
All right. So that mirror puzzle, that lady lives in a cave.
Yeah.
With a trapdoor.
Yeah.
And she sits there all day, every day.
Yeah.
Looking at the dump space for the trapdoor with a rhyme ready that she wrote and has been practicing for when someone figures out the mirrors
shit.
And plops down into her cave.
Yep.
The rest of that world I find very believable. Like, it seems.
I still have my grievance about the owl man who can't use his own feathers as quivers. You a writer. You got feathers.
Make a shirt out of your own hair, Keenan.
We talked about this.
I could.
Then do.
Yet you buy shirts on Amazon.
Interesting. You also participate in this civilization.
Yeah.
This, okay. Sure. The like tonal comparison, sure. But those are two very different points.
I'm totally with you. Like, we had this conversation in
Discord. And we all played Frog Detective. And talk to this exact NPC.
Yep.
You're like, oh, you're wearing a wool sweater? That's cool. You're a sheep. And she's like, gross. Right? Like, no.
Okay. Did you rat out the guy who everyone says is mean to his kid?
Yes.
Yes.
You did? What happens?
You get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I saw that quest and they're
Oh, no, wait. No. The airplane kid? Is that the same?
There, no. The town that's the harbor. I forgot the names of like everything. All
Lindau.
Okay. The names of like fucking everything just exited my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of the first things you run into where this lady basically just tells you nasty rumors.
Oh yeah. She's like, oh yeah, his kid's like fucking disturbed and stuff. I'm like, kid thinks he's a bird. It's cool, lady.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, and then like
different kid, but okay.
And then I went and talked to him and I was like, hey, that lady said bad rumors about you. And he's like, fuck you. And I'm like, you know what? That's a really reasonable response. I went in detail to him that he was like, his neighbor said he was a negligent father. Mm. And I just, at that point, it was like, all right, you got more heated than I would have expected, but it's really not enough to narc you out to the cops.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell the cops about him.
Oh, okay.
Just in talking to him, if you go one step further and like push a little more socially, he punches you in the face.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because the lady gives you a quest to go report him to the police.
Oh, I didn't do that.
On her like hunch or like non-specific.
She tries to be like, yo, narc him out.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
okay.
Lady.
Well, hopefully you get punched in the face if you report him to the cops, too, because I did not
that
like...
That lady's like a busybody bitch.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. She needs to fuck off. Also, the pirate captain needs to... Or the ship captain needs to get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a new boat.
She needs to get laid.
Yeah. Both.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Get a boat.
Fuck a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like whatever. Yeah. She was very rude.
Yeah.
It's not like I did it. Calm down, lady.
Yeah.
I didn't sink your boat.
Yeah, Jib did.
I saw him do it.
East Shade 2, Jib washes up on shore.
Is this Verdenfell?
Nope.
Go to some hot springs.
Well,
man.
He finished killing all the...
paint a picture of that dude in his balloon.
I'm gonna commission some fan art of like Jib just like having a great new life in East Shade.
He's really into great pace.
Yeah, do you know he's in Skyrim in one of the DLCs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You run into him as a ghost.
This is like, I want to see him like in a hot, like, just
is Jib the Elder Scrolls Herald?
Yeah, he's the first person you talk to in
Elder
Scrolls.
He's the Elder Scrolls Herald. Like, he's in every...
No, he's not in Oblivion.
Okay.
Right. Well, and he's not in Arena.
No. he's the first person you talk to in Morrowind, and he's in one of the DLCs where you go to Morrowind, but he's not in Morrowind, he's in Hell.
All right.
But like I just want like a East Shade style painting of Jib in the balloon, just like grinning. Just
with
like
his,
he's having a great time.
Sweet
I can't
earring.
Remember what the annoying ass flying things from Morrowind are called.
Cliff racers.
The cliff racers. So canonically, Jib kills all the cliff racers, but there is a beautiful rendering of it.
Of him
luring all the cliff racers to the top of Ash Mountain and killing them with a bow. Nice. There's a painting of it.
Beautiful.
That you can find. So you're just talking about a painting. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's what made him a saint. That's what made him a saint in the tribunal. He's Saint Jib now.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Get it, Jib.
Anyone can be a saint.
You want to be a saint? Be a saint. Right?
Get it. Get it going.
Anyway, do we have anything else to say about Eastshade?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but like it's kind of a cool game.
Yeah.
I'm amazed, like team's not huge.
Yeah.
Technically that game's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
That game, it was a pretty game.
Yeah. It ran real good on my laptop.
It was smooth. Like
I only had one technical problem with it ever.
Oh wow.
Like I had a hard crash on it.
I had two hard crashes.
Yeah? Okay. I lost almost no progress though.
Yeah, I lost about 5 minutes of progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard up on its saves. Like it's not.
Yeah. Great game. Great game. Fuck, who made that game?
Eastshade Project.
Yeah, there we go.
I think it's
I think it was something like that. Like, yeah, because I looked it up at one point.
It's like Eastshade team.
I like that the names at the tops of the credits, like all the like leads or whatever on it, all have their Twitter handles in the game's credits, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a cool metal game.
Yeah. Quest system needs polish, but like...
Yeah, I mean, like, with how much they focus on everything else, like all the environments and stuff, like, I feel like it kind of suffers from that, like, I don't know, just tack some quests on thing. And that's fine. Like if that's where you kind of shorted it or whatever.
It just needs bumpers to direct the player more.
No big deal. Like, learn from it and make another game.
Yeah, so we talked roughly about Eastshade as much as we talked about unrelated bullshit at the beginning of this podcast. Yeah. But hey, it just be like that sometimes.
Sometimes
it'd be like that. All right.
All right, Matt, fuck us up.
Fuck us up?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be hard, I think.
This game's kind of like really its own thing. So
how many Disco Elysiums does this game get? Actually.
Yeah. I would give it a bit. I would give it like three. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, like, you asked it, and I was like, no, there's something
like,
there.
It's like a game about, like, inhabiting a space like it's a real space.
Yeah.
It's a game about sometimes doing drugs to elicit, like, mechanical functions
and
in
the game.
Game
is capable of surprising me.
Yeah.
And there are people there that don't give a fuck about you as the player.
Yes. And it's also like a
park ranger.
Well, in a small environment in a small community. It's a bigger space than Disco for sure. But like for an open world game, it's a very tiny open world game.
It's about the same amount of space, honestly.
It's just different perspective.
Yeah. Well, if we're including the bay, I'm just saying. So
All right, what's up next on the bad standards?
Temtem.
Temtem.
It's cute.
Yeah. It is like a little like cutesy and twee a little bit, like,
and Temtem has that sort of off on an adventure aspect to it as well. So
well, and also like the thing I was thinking of is like there's a scary cult in Eastshade. What does the cult like? They want to confiscate all of our tea. Yeah. You know, like it's like the stakes never really get that.
Yeah, like there's no like
it's all
the one person who can make swords doesn't make swords because making swords is boring.
Yeah, well, did you guys catch the do you guys do a lot of painting commissions in the game?
Yeah,
so
props to Art Dealer. His name is Art Dealer.
there's
a little bit of awkward dialogue.
The reason you as a painter can just walk into town and then take all the commissions to paint all the paintings is because the resident painter is sick of still life, which screenshots by definition are still life.
Yep.
And the resident painter only wants to do abstracts and so can't do any of the still life commissions.
That dialogue is hilarious.
So like
you can take it all because I just want to do curves and shit.
Yeah. It's like I'm just painting a blue curve right now. Yeah. I need you to paint like a stone arch or something or whatever these nerds want.
Reminds me of the Tom Haverford it's like, what do these shapes make me feel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking on Temtem?
I think a one.
I think a one is fair with what we've discussed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ooh, this is actually fairly interesting. This is working out way better than I thought. Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
Three.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go four.
Okay.
Why four? State your case.
Okay, basically.
Both games about wandering around.
The aspects of Breath of the Wild that I think you could point to and say, Owen, how can you give this a four? Breath of the Wild is a game about amassing weapons and solving dungeons and beating Ganon and getting the four guardian spirits and like all this shit. Like all that shit is like the shit that is not on my scale of what the fuck matters about Breath of the Wild and why it's an important or interesting game.
Stamina gauge.
The stamina gauge, that's what matters. Yeah. Climbing in the rain.
The weird, cool, smooth animations of climbing.
Cooking.
Surfing on your shield.
And that
cooking.
Song. That cooking song.
Yeah. Oh,
so good. yeah. That's my shit.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's
like
the Poke Center.
No, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
he just did the Poke. All right.
I'm just gonna let it go, okay?
Yeah,
whatever.
I'm moving on.
It's close.
So like all the shit that I love about Breath of the Wild, and I think it makes it great and it makes that game important, are things I feel and experience when I'm playing Eastshade.
That's fair. Like the vistas, the photo mode, the like, yeah,
the simple pleasure of riding a bicycle down a trail in the woods.
So the one thing I was thinking is that Breath of the Wild thing was, why don't we just make the gameplay everywhere?
Yeah.
So that if you go anywhere, that's the gameplay's everywhere.
Right.
And that was based on what we've already talked about with Eastshade.
Yeah.
Not exactly my experience. Because there's, for a game about exploration, there are a fuckload of invisible walls in this game.
Yeah.
Metaphorical and otherwise. When I was trying to traverse between multiple locations, I ran into a lot of invisible walls.
Yeah. It's very path-based in a way that, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't try and... I didn't relate to the environment quite in that same, like, Skyrim, my way up a mountain type of way.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, me, I've played a shitload of those games,
and
you know,
it feels enough like Morrowind that you're like, yo, I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just going to go in a straight line between these two places.
I'm just going to go jump this mountain.
Oftentimes, that proved impossible.
Yeah. Mostly because of streams.
Well, it was a lot of time because of mountains, too.
Sure.
Like, there were certain bluffs where you would run into invisible walls and not be able to go up them.
Yeah, anymore. Like, it kind of trained me out of that idea pretty quick when I started running into them, and I was like, I'm going to stick to the path.
Yeah, but I'm the iron dumbass.
No, I'm with you. I understand.
One thing I kind of wish it did is with the bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I talked earlier about how it's a super bicycle that
can great.
Go over boulders and logs. And that is great and fun. I think it could have one more great step to making it feel like the experience of riding a bike in the woods.
Crashing?
Not even crashing. Mm. Just like... What if my bike gums up when I go off trails?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you have to, like, get off and, like, fix it a little bit?
You know, not even fix it, but just, like, get off your bike. Is it like let's say I'm riding along and I'm going to go see this stone arch because I need to paint a stone arch.
Mm-hmm.
And I ride my bicycle down the trail, but the trail doesn't go all the way to the stone arch I want to paint. So there's a point in the trail where it makes sense for me to get off my bike, leave my bike, and go walk for... you know, 40 seconds and then make my painting and then come back to the bike. Like, I feel like that would be like,
there was, once I bought the bike, there was at no point where I wanted to get off the bike.
Yeah. And it would
it
also
doesn't really push you to that.
Yeah. And it would also sort of like, avoid the very silliness of like riding up and over rotten logs and staircases.
Right,
and all
had a way to be like, no bike zone.
Like, I think it would be to the game's benefit. I think there would be a large amount of people that wouldn't like it because not unlike Breath of the Wild and like the stamina meter and the slippery cliffs and the rain. Like, there's going to be a subset of people that don't like that shit. But, like, I'll tell you, like, if you want to make this game just slightly better for me, like, I think that would be a good addition to the game. It's like basically, like, code all the bicycling surfaces. There are some of these that will clog up your bike.
Yeah.
And you need to pack it up and place it somewhere where
just like a texture map. Over
a non-clogging surface.
Keenan, 3 or 4 on Breath of the Wild?
I'm sold on a 4.
Okay. Right. Moving on. Titanfall 2.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, there's no real
really...
corollary between these two things.
So. I mean, like, they're such opposite ends of things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
both good, very different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
We've decided there's no difference between these two games.
Corporate wants you to find the difference.
Just to put a number out there.
In the words of Drill, there's no difference between good and bad things. You imbecile.
Gangbeast. I think I'm on a 0 again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It lacks the whimsy.
Keenan.
Yeah.
This is your time.
This is my time. All right.
Oh, shit.
So, Cody Rhodes is the grandson of
So, this
Warner.
Is the dumb wrestling moment
dumb
of the week.
We
haven't done one in so long, we didn't even introduce
dumb
it.
Dumb wrestling moment of the week.
If we had, like, a producer, we would put a drop in here. It was like, dum, dum, dum.
So, Cody Rhodes is a second... Don't fact check me on that. Generation wrestler. His dad was Dusty Rhodes. His brother is Gold Dust. There's a lot of fucking
wrestling. So what fucking adjective is Cody? Like if a road can be Dusty.
Star.
But when a road is... No, but when a road is Cody, what does that mean?
He's Stardust.
Is there code on it?
He's Stardust.
There's code on it.
He's Stardust. He's after the Cosmic Key. We're never getting an answer to what the Cosmic Key is. Anyways, Cody left WWE because they weren't catering to his ability level. And he left a year after his dad died, and his dad had been saying for a year, you need to go because they're not using you. Like, sure. And his dad is like super smart wrestling guy, like knew his shit, booked a lot of shows, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like half the reason half the roster at WWE is what they are because he trained them at WWE. So like Dusty Rhodes knows his shit. He's one of the only guys who was like constantly 300 pounds and like a world champion fucking constantly in his career. Like, Dusty Rhodes knows how to outwork the muscle dudes on the other end of wrestling, right? Like, he knows his shit about character, okay, et cetera. So his son is this wrestler who, like, leaves and discovers, like, holy shit, I can tear ass around the indies. I can go to Japan. I can be amazing because I am amazing because my dad taught me to be amazing. And he and some other guys start this company called AEW. They're the company that's against WWE by all standards.
And they make Legend of the Five Rings.
Yeah, they, yeah, no, yeah, we're, yeah, getting there. Cody's gonna make a ring for himself, and then, yeah. So Cody had a symbol that he got made when he left WWE for him being the American Nightmare, because his dad was the American Dream, and he was being a bad guy, and it's a whole fucking thing.
All right, that's not bad.
So Cody, over the weekend before the pay-per-view,
is he an Alan Wake fan?
Probably. He's a big gaming nerd. Like, he has a lot of Zelda stuff.
But when did he start using American Nightmare?
Like 3-4 years ago. So okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Wow. Okay. That's kind of.
Timing could fit.
That's fun. That's fun.
But he's like come out in Zelda gear. And at one point, like, he and his whole entourage came out in like Star Trek sweatshirts. Like,
aww,
like TNG style.
Star Trek sweatshirts. Is it like the one I have?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I don't think theirs had hoods, but it was very much like, oh, nerd shit. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Cody has this logo that's like a skull with some wings and a crown on it, and it's kind of goofy, and it's like, you know, whatever, it's a wrestling logo. Well, Cody went and got like a $200 tattoo of this on his fucking neck before the pay-per-view this week. <Jesus. laughs> And so people have been fucking rolling this tattoo hard on Twitter and shit.
Well, first of all, it's a neck tattoo.
It's a neck tattoo. Like, fine. He's a pro wrestler. He's going to be a pro wrestler the rest of his life. Like, whatever. I don't really have a problem with the life decision that Cody made getting a neck tattoo.
How's he going to get a job at a Starbucks?
Right. Like, fuck that. That's not happening, right? But like, people started zooming in on it and, like, examining, like, the stars in the American flag pattern on it. And it's just like, some of these stars are real fucking crooked and weird. And,
oh,
like,
I have a story I need to tell after this.
So people are, like, really mad about his bad tattoo. And for, like, up until, like, today, which is Wednesday, like, the last 5 days, Twitter, people just been lighting up Cody's tattoo. Like, oh, this is just as bad as Cody's tattoo. And I'm like, guys, it's his tattoo. Fuck off. Like, but, yeah, it's been a rough time.
I had a roommate once. Start of any
I like
story.
I like the beginning of
because,
this.
It's funny because I get to guess which roommate.
I'm pretty sure you don't know this person.
Okay.
I like it with these types of stories because I had a roommate once... is just a window into another world sometimes.
Yep.
So this was a man who had a fucking enormous American flag tattoo on his back. His back was an American flag.
Okay.
And it was stylized.
Just the flag?
He might have had other shit too, but the American flag is the part of the story that's
the
important.
Big piece. Okay.
It's the part that I remember. He only showed me the tattoo once. And it's stylized to look like it's moving in the wind a little bit.
Right. So it's got a little ripple to it.
And he showed me the tattoo, and he's like, yeah, do you see what's wrong?
And oh, like, no. Shit. He's flag checking you, bro.
This is a flag with 12 stripes.
That's not enough stripes.
He got a tattoo on his back of a flag with 12 stripes. Now, the flag needs one more stripe.
It's supposed to be 13.
Yeah, so he goes to his tattoo parlor, and he's mad because he said, I want an American flag tattoo. And they're like, do you like this one? And
they like draw it on and show him in the mirror. And, yeah, you know, yeah. You go through that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, it's cool, but I didn't count the stripes."
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, and you got to count your stripes on your flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you get an American flag tattoo, folks, count the stripes. So
that's why I like the anarchist flag. It's just got two fucking colors.
So here's what's up: is the way the flag was styled in its rippling motion, it doesn't make sense to tattoo another stripe onto it exactly. Oh. It doesn't look right. Mm. But that's sure as shit what they fucking did. Mm. So he's got like by all accounts, like from a technical art perspective, like a nicely tattooed flag on his back that happens to be a fictitious flag that doesn't exist. but now he has a nice tattoo of a fictitious flag that doesn't exist with like this sort of like red sausage on the top. I don't know how to describe it. It's this weird sort of lumpy shape on top to make that 13th strike.
They fucking tried, but like it artistically isn't allowing it.
Yeah. I don't even remember this guy's name. He was he lived at the house in Ballard. He was just some fucking random meathead that we rented to.
Huh.
He rode a motorcycle.
Yeah, no, I'm not ringing any bells.
He was trying to, whatever. I'm not going to tell more stories about this guy. He was really nice. It's mostly just I feel bad telling mean-spirited stories about him.
That's rough because, like, that's not his fault.
Yeah.
And, like, it also paints him in this light that, like, he definitely doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
Without any other information.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough.
Yeah, he was a really sweet guy. So I feel bad, like, telling this story in Mean Spirits, but at the same time, like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but, like, bad tattoo stories are bad tattoo stories. Yeah, and most people tell their bad tattoo stories with a fucking grin about it once they're over it.
And I'm not even going to put Trey's bad tattoo on blast right now.
That's for later.
Yeah. That's for me to find out if he actually listens to our podcast, like he said.
Yo, getting listen checked.
Yeah.
You guys ready for some more bread?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, okay. What? Oh, right.
Oh, man.
Oh, and you get to do a thing.
Yeah, Harry Dubois arrives in Eastshade.
So the main character, what is happening right now for the uninitiated, is that Owen gets to imagine what happens when the main character from Disco Elysium and also at his discretion... Harry Kim, or not Harry Kim.
Kim Kitsuragi.
Kim Kitsuragi. Fuck.
I was just rolling around in my head. It's like, is Kim here?
Harry Kim and Kim Kitsuragi are not the same person.
No,
they're really not.
One of them is fortunate.
One of them would deeply pity the other. Yes. And one of them lives in a much better world than the other. Yeah. God, fuck Harry Kim. And... Garrett Wong, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
I dog on Harry Kim all the time.
It's definitely like the actor does it well, he's given. But that's a lot of Voyager, is the actor doing well the scraps they were given.
Pour one out for Robert Beltran.
Yeah.
Pour one out for Garrett Wong.
I mean, the only person who really thrives on that show is the medical hologram.
You guys are out there killing the bad material, much like a lot of fucking wrestlers.
Yeah.
7 of 9 does pretty well, too, Jerry Ryan.
I don't think I've gotten far enough in the show to...
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say he's without Kim Kitsuragi.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think... well, first of all, he absolutely solves the Stormy Inn mystery.
He's like, storm's over. I got it.
Like those people are open cans
of
beans.
Gets in there. He gets in there. He can't solve the case. He puts some tea on to get some inspiration. The teapot is whistling. He picks it up off the stove, pours the boiling tea down his throat, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he just fucking trashes everyone's rooms and solves the mystery.
Yeah, the first time when you first roll through that mansion, there's all the locked doors.
Oh yeah,
my man Cousteau would not fucking handle locked doors.
Yeah, Raphael Cousteau would not fuck with that. And like all his paintings would be in that like that really like messy Disco Elysium style. Yep.
God love it.
Yeah, yeah. He would do that fucking pastry quest.
Yep.
the grape pastries.
In a heartbeat. He'd be like, wait, we get to fuck with him? Hell yeah!
Like he'd probably hang out with those guys and like get them wasted.
Yeah.
Nice union boys.
Dude, he'd probably have a great time in
Eastshade.
They
would call him Tequila Sunset.
He would have a legitimately great time in Eastshade.
So. Yo, he'd go in that bike would end up in a fucking pond.
Yeah, he would lose the bike. as part of the as like he was supposed to make those four paintings for his mother a week ago. Doesn't know where his bicycle is, doesn't know where his teapot is.
Here's the thing.
Lost his easel.
He would well under the influence of dream tea. Try to combine the pontoon boat and the bicycle into a single vehicle, thus destroying both
single
of them.
Single amphibious vehicle.
He would go into that cave full of hallucinogenic fungus and just like not leave. And the scientists would be like, dude, we got to do research.
He's like, nah, this is great.
Yeah. Like he'd have a great time.
Yeah.
Like I think he would do well. I think he would accomplish his goals.
There aren't assholes with guns here.
He probably would alienate a lot of people.
Sure.
But he'd also probably make some pretty good friends.
Yeah. I think there's people on the island receptive to what he's putting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoni or, smash karaoke.
Or at the very least would be like amused by how different he is from their walk of life.
Yeah. That weird outsider.
Yeah.
He comes from a strange land.
What clothes do you think he would find?
Some medieval shit.
Yeah, like something weird.
Still
yeah.
centrist pants.
Oh, but tights, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but tights, though.
Centrist tights.
The art, no, it's like artist's tights. You put them on and it goes in the thought cabinet like painter. And he's like, I'm a painter now.
I've been rewatching Community. I've been rewatching painter. Community. And there's an excellent scene.
I heard the intro come from your room and I was warm inside.
There's a wonderful scene where Donald Glover reverses the my eyes are up here because he's wearing spandex mm-hmm. at the time, like form-fitting uh-huh. spandex. And he goes, I know that there's the temptation, but my eyes are up here. And like by the end of the scene, he goes, and she's like, eyes flit up, you know? yeah.
Rip Community.
Six seasons in a movie. So there are two more questions I must ask you. Three more questions I must ask you.
Oh my gosh.
Does this game deserve a golden toilet skull? This is actually, I think, a tough question.
Yeah, it really is. I don't think the game... The way the game is designed, I don't think it thinks about its environment in quite that way.
Right. It doesn't feel gratuitous the way the other winners
do. But also, like, this game doesn't...
But the whole game is gratuitous.
The game doesn't feel like it has, like, this, like, long-lived-in history that it's dying to tell you about by putting a skull in a toilet. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, it's not, like...
It's not a skull in a toilet in a journal entry.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling me about the skull.
Yeah, exactly.
In the toilet.
Like the journals you find are actually journals.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like people talking about their own
internality. It's like you were saying with the park ranger, there are parts of this game that feel like they don't need you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really alleviates it from receiving an award.
Yeah.
In this category. Okay. Moving right along. Second of three questions. Does this game deserve a Moira Brown Memorial Award? And I think that the answer to this question is no. But I'm willing to hear arguments.
There's a humongous treehouse that I think you can only access by zipline, mm-hmm. and I never went into it, and I was very curious about it.
There's a fortune teller up there. If you pick the thing you're not supposed to pick and give it to her, she'll tell you your fortune. I did not. I picked.
I had a bunch of those thistles. I always wondered what was going
to
happen with
them. I accidentally picked some of those, and she asked me for them to tell me my fortune, but she was kind of rude, so I refused and left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed some stuff, but
yeah.
But it wasn't like it didn't feel wrong to do that.
I don't feel like I missed out on key things.
Yeah, there's no content I destroyed. There's just quests you can not do.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah, I'd say not.
All right. Well, where can they find us?
If you want to send us comments, corrections, game codes, screeds, and unsolicited images, you can send that to badplaceisle@gmail.com.
Thank we'll you for you downgrading it.
If you want to push notifications to mine and Keenan's phones, you can get at us on Twitter at badplaceisle. You can find us at shame.club and shame.business online. Mm-hmm. I almost said shame.zone. Shame.zone was expensive,
I
think.
We might get shame.zone though.
Oh, whatever. If you want to buy Shame.Zone and direct it to us, like that's your
that's your business.
I got that software money coming in. I might get Shame.Zone.
Okay. I think what it came down to was like Shame.Zone was like $20 or it was like $10 and dot club was like $3 and dot business was $7.
That rounds out nice.
Yeah, it was something. It was something like that. There was like
I don't have any domains to my name right now.
There was like one dumb domain. It was like the choice was either one dumb domain I liked or two dumb domains I like for the same price or like about the same price. So I think that's how that broke out.
A good decision. I respect that.
Cool. I lied. I have an additional question.
Oh shit!
Mm-hmm.
Do either of you have anything additional to say?
No.
Shit, I had something earlier.
It's gone now.
It'll come back if it's important.
Hey, if you are interested in joining us for the next adventure, we are headed to the Shrouded Isle.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited for, and I have been for a very long time.
Isn't it
like this...
one bit game?
What?
It's not like a one bit game.
It's a Kid Fox game.
It's got one color. It's one
yes.
bit.
Yes.
Okay.
It is green.
Yeah.
It is green, and it is about Cthulhu cultists.
It is Game Boy colored.
And I'm really loving it because right now I am running an urban fantasy game for my friends, and so this will be good fodder for that.
Cool. So I bought Shrouded Isle,
mm-hmm.
and I for my Switch, mm-hmm. and I downloaded it, and I had been cleaning my room all day, and I booted it up at 11:30 at night, and it started talking at me with a lot of exposition. I was like, holy shit. I was just going to poke at it for a few minutes and like play it for a little bit and go to bed. It's like, this is for another night.
Nope, it's front loading on you.
Yeah, it's kind of a board game. So like,
That's kind of what I've heard about it.
So anyway, that's what's up. See you folks next time. Goodbye.